Hello and welcome to Worlds Apart. Not so long ago, mixing culture or sports with politics was considered bad taste. Nowadays, one may get into trouble for failing to do that. As cancel culture draws ever larger gaps between people and entire nations, is there still any medium left to pay homage to and experience our shared humanity? Well, to discuss that, I'm now joined by Emir Kusturica, a world-renowned Serbian director and a man of many disagreeable views. Mr. Kusturica, it's a great honor and a great pleasure for me to talk to you. Thank you very much for giving me the time.
Thank you.
Now, you are not only one of the most celebrated, but also one of the most outspoken film directors in the world. And I think that perhaps explained by the fact that you got your recognition very early. You got your first prize for your debut film. But I still want to ask if being so outspoken today interferes with your ability to express those same things, your beliefs, through cinema, through movies.
There are two processes that were going on at the same time, at the end of the century. The voice of an artist was having no anymore the social effect as it used to have in the first part, because you had two blocks, you had a separation in which one, which is Western side, was proving the freedom to the Eastern side. And when the collapse of the Berlin Wall came, and when the Soviet Union was collapsing too, somehow the world was getting into the bad shape regarding the freedom of speech and freedom of expression. Today, the voice of an artist could have it could be heard. But if you go on the local communities, you don't have anymore any effect on the community that you live. Why? Because the whole thing is just a celebrity system. Mm-hmm. If you are the best director in the world, if you are the best writer in the world, you could be heard. But the limits of this are determined by proliferation of technological tools, which are just making it so massive. Mm-hmm. And the decision what to make on the first row is how much scandalous mm-hmm. is this, not how much smart it is. Mm-hmm. It's the same story with cinema. Cinema has a great chance now to go big-time author, because there are many ways of following Netflix and other platforms in which you could see films that are very ideologically strictly controlled, and that prove, in fact, that, you know, in the United States, you don't have any more the freedom that you were looking for in the past. And at the same time, you could have it more in the East, or at least the same level in which you don't touch the major issues, and then you could get to the point in which you could say it's freedom.
Well, your films do touch major issues, and many of them have a sort of historical premonition feel to them. But I think in this respect, Underground is the most striking, because back in 1995, and perhaps a little bit earlier, you intended it as your artistic account of Yugoslavia's history, but today one can watch it as a commentary on the current events, particularly the events between Russia and the West in Ukraine. I wonder if at the time you were filming it, did you see that the trends you were depicting may go beyond your former country, that they would be broader?
I would say that in the themes of cinema that I was doing, instantly, in the beginning, because I have belonged to post-punk, and I was never agreed with most of the ideas of getting under the authority except the God. Mm-hmm. And I was really very much a boy, bad boy of Balkan area, and including Western Europe.
Well, that was also fashionable.
It was fashionable, and it was, luckily it was good because it was proving that we are free, mm-hmm. somehow free in movement, free in expression. Mm-hmm. I have one idea that controversy is something that belongs to a definition of the people who ask questions. Mm-hmm. In this consumer society, people like Yuval Harari, people like all these philosophers who are backing Klaus Schwab and the idea we are going to take you all and you're going to be happy even you don't have nothing, which is ludicrous.
Absolutely, but you know, the ideas will last, perhaps shorter than they last.
And but it depends how you will defend Russia. You know, what happens now in the Russian-Ukraine conflict, it's what was supposed to happen in Serbia in 1999, when Krajina, which is without mm-hmm. you, the part of the territory that was from the Peter the Great until the end of Austrian-Hungarian Empire, you had a Serbian community which was defending the West, positioned in Croatia, which was much smaller than it is today. And the end of this story was, in fact, when they started recruiting for the army of the Anna and Elizaveta, they were coming to Bakhmut today, mm-hmm. or Artyomovsk, Novo Serbia. Mm-hmm. And in the end of the 20th century, mm-hmm. we had a problem that Croatians, helped by United mm-hmm. States, pushed out 220,000 people went to Serbia, the biggest ethnic cleansing in the end of the century. Mm-hmm. And now I see what would have happened if Milosevic was trying to defend Serbs from Krajina. They would put a bomb, atomic bomb on Belgrade. Mm-hmm. If you go in a quite difficult way to liberate or to protect your culture, your language, and everything that was forbidden before you started the war.
Did you know that at the time you were filming Underground? Did you have any sort of premonition or?
There is always, you know, from the World War II, from the World War I to the World War II, you have all smaller nations than Serbs who were always in the two world wars going on the wrong side. But if you say wrong side, today it's not anymore. If you are in Western Europe, you cannot say that World War II, you could say Hitler was bad guy and then you go to the dictatorship's explanations, but you wouldn't get into the possibility to blame the people identifying with the Nazi Germany and before that with the Austrian-Hungarian Empire, which had fallen. So Croatia, Bosnian Muslims, they were always gone with Germany. Mm-hmm. And what happens today in the geopolitical map of Southeastern Europe, which they called, funny, Western Balkans. Mm-hmm. Why something in Southeast Europe could be Western? Mm-hmm. Western, I don't understand, but it's probably some military definition. So all these countries were recruiting with what you had with Ukraine. Mm-hmm. You know, SS Waffen division from Ukraine went to Great Britain in 1945. And if you see today the guy who is greeted and in Canada together with Trudeau, which I think is the most ridiculous leader in the world, with Zelensky, they were giving standing ovation to one of those mm-hmm. 8,000 who lived there. So it speaks about imminency of Nazism to the capitalistic order, mm-hmm. and especially this kind of ruthless line that was drawn always by Vatican and this kind of proselytistic mm-hmm. idea of moving towards the East, which was even named Drang nach Osten.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, at the core of this idea is splitting of humanity into super people and under people, or splitting, the psyche into good and bad. And I think this is one of the strongest appeals of your art, that you always very methodically show that the good and evil are always intertwined both in the human psyche and in politics. And in my opinion, one of the reasons we are where we are is this, not just the claim of dominance by the West, but the claim of moral superiority, or as some Russians call it, the mandate of infallibility. The West believes authentically that they are on the right side of history and can commit no mistakes. And I don't think that would be possible for the Russians or for the Serbs because of our tradition of sort of gloomy soul searching. We do see our shadow. We do see our evil in ourselves. That's what, you know, our literature, our films are often about. But what I want to ask you about is, why do you think the West at this point is not only capable of that, but does it so genuinely, believing that all the good is preserved for the West and all the bad is on Russia's side? So
it's the question of abandoning Christianity, the only religion that has a social expression and social meaning. You know, there is no other religion that gives you a chance to develop secular state. Mm-hmm. You have a secular state in Israel, which was developed thanks to the Western improvement or Eastern improvement, and thanks to the Justinian, who in the 5th century has found the law, and he was the first one who made the code, the law code. And from 1054, we have these two types of societies separated, one that goes absolutely rationally, which is impossible. That's why you have a crisis today, because they believe that everything, what Dostoevsky also says, the rational conclusions are never made just by rationality. Mm-hmm. A people, a man, is never so rational that could be just following the Protestant ideas plus what we have today, this kind of unity of the action that is taken by those who believe they are privileged, which is Protestant Zionist church in America, and the common sense of messianic idea they found. And that's why we always suffer. But in suffering, we find a way to defend ourselves. Mm-hmm. And in believing they are privileged, they're superior nation, chosen people, however they're called, even they could prove in history that even Jesus, Marx, and everybody was coming from this part of the world. But the world is not just what we mathematically believe it is.
Absolutely. Well, Mr. Kusturica, we have to suffer a very short break right now, but we will be back in just a few moments. Stay tuned.
Russian state-controlled narrative.
Als Teil der Sanktionen gegen Russland gehen die westlichen Länder gegen russische Auslandssender vor.
Mais écoutez, monsieur, c'est pas à vous de décider de qui est journaliste ou pas dans ce pays. On est en France, quoi. C'est pas possible.
We will ban in the European Union the Kremlin's media machine. The state-owned Russia Today and Sputnik.
RT, Sputnik, even our video agency, roughly all banned on YouTube.
Et merci à vous tous pour votre fidélité et votre soutien.
Welcome back to Worlds Apart with Serbian director Emir Kusturica. Mr. Kusturica, before the break, you started talking about rationality, and there are certain things that are simply inexplicable to me. For example, the issue of fear in Europe, because Russia is greatly feared in abstract. It's considered to be a great enemy right now, but Recently, for example, RT got hold of wiretapped conversations of German military commanders, official German military commanders, discussing the bombing of the Crimean bridge. And there seems to be no fear of ramifications that Russia would be necessary to respond to something like that. How do you understand the workings of this emotion of fear in the European psyche today? Because it seems to be very present at certain level and totally absent at other levels.
I don't think that this humanity was always, people were always putting fear under the carpet until the fire comes very close to them. But you have today's world, which is at least much better informed. You have ability to penetrate into the territory of your enemy. The problem in Russia, I think, is that you Russians, you want to live a life which is standardized more or less like any Western country. You like to be...
Oh, everybody enjoys
everybody.
Conference.
If you go to Tashkent, you don't believe that you are in the east part of the world, and apparently you walk down the street and you see the the buildings the same like the other. So this is one point. But the other one is that this superiority that they have is mainly expressed through the possession. They want to possess your country, they want to possess your uranium, they want to possess your gas, they want to at least share. Why Yeltsin was good for them? Because he was just opening all the doors. But the problem with them is they do not understand that they are, the characteristics of people who they are dealing with. As much as you press the bear will come out. The problem will be how to put bear back to his place. And this is this is a very dangerous game, I think, they play.
Well, I think it's certainly dangerous, but it is also dangerous for the bear itself, because I hear a lot of discussions here in Russia, and people do not understand how to deal with Europe rationally. We talked about the French and the Germans before, and they happen to be the people who once sent their armies to Russia, to their own demise. I'm talking about the 19th and the 20th century. And now the French and the Germans yet again are leading discussions within the EU about sending NATO troops to Russia, even though Russia is much larger than the EU and much better equipped. It's strategically also much better prepared. So I wonder if you have any sort of advice, I guess, for the Russian leadership on how to deal with Europe, because they seem to be not just irrational, but sometimes psychotic in the way
I wouldn't
they
deal with Europe, because Europe...
But if they sent NATO troops to Ukraine...
This decision goes on United States. You know, if the entity of European Union is getting into the new phase of getting rid of the cheap energy, it means that there is a big mistake inside this system. Mm-hmm. Jeff Bezos is selling stuff through Amazon and making a profit of $44 billion in Western Europe and paying no taxes. Google never paid one penny of taxes. Microsoft, something small. So we are speaking about the tools which operate today's world. I think Russia has to work on its own Google, on its own system and the network, which is going to make your territory much more independent from them. But French and German idea is not French and German idea. It's a heavy duty, deep state that is organized through the channels that function for last 300 years and making Europe more or less lately, not from the beginning, operative from Washington and from the people who govern them. Mm-hmm. So when I think this is to spread the fear, or this is a tough American decision to go the way that Napoleon was going, Hitler was going, and then we know what will happen.
Now, let me also ask you about Serbia, because I think one of the dictums of Russia's policy vis-a-vis your country is try not to be more Serbian than the Serbs. In other words, if Belgrade wants to sit on two stools and accidentally falls in the middle, let it be. It has to face the consequences of its own decisions, but there's also recognition that Russia has historical ties with the Serbian people rather than current Serbian elites, and those have to be maintained. How do you see a mature, respectful relationship between Belgrade and Moscow at this time? What should it be like?
You know, what I believe is one thing, what elite and people who are dealing with economy...
You're also an influencer.
I am influencer, but, you know, every country has an elite in Western Europe which somehow is connected to the source of good and economic relations. Russia has a great, great experience of Serbia in 1990. And I think most of the elements considered before we started military operation in Ukraine was coming out of the bombardment of Belgrade. So it's better to be making a chess movement before somebody comes. That's why they are very, very angry with Russia. And that's why they are making Russians the biggest evil on the earth ever. But this is what was part of the previous question. Christianity is connected to the Bible, to biblical times. Biblical times are behind the Western world. And in Russia, you are still keeping, I don't know how much this kind of commodity life, comfortable life, will allow you to be as much Orthodox as you are. But I think you don't have a choice because you stick to the rules of the game that were given to you from the beginning of 17th century. You cannot go backwards and say, not, I am not Orthodox. Mm-hmm. Like this, you lose the parameter of the future. What is the parameter of the future? All the civilizations who are deeply rooted into its own religion, they will prevail.
Now, one of the specifics of Orthodox Christianity, at least in my view, is this emphasis on inner honesty. You know, you have to know what, or to let yourself know what you know about yourself and the world. And this is something that allows or mandates the incorporation of also your own evil and practical working on the evil inside your soul. And this is a hard proposition in this day and age when many people live narcissistic or, as you said, very materialistic life. But at the same time, there are many other people in many other parts of the world who seem to be resonating with this message. Do you think it could be attractive, let's say, not for the Western part, but perhaps for other parts of the world?
I think the major issue is how your heart resonates, what kind of frequencies your heart resonates.
But we all are humans. I mean, we all have certain frequencies
in
our hearts.
All humans belong to different cultures. And this is now very sharp division in between those who belong to one culture or another. And if you are, if you belong to the religion in which you're given chance to redeem yourself, to forgive, to have all this protocol that Christianity is.
And not just in afterlife. I mean, Orthodox Christianity promises it
today,
here and now. Yes,
today
you could
purge yourself. You could just get, you could clean yourself and try to do. And that's the biggest issue that is that the individuals are facing today. If you don't believe in God, as Ivan Karamazov says, everything is possible. If you believe in God, and that's what is a little bit dangerous. I think the Western world is counting on Putin's Christianity. I am afraid that they are also calculating he's an Eastern Christian. He might be not be using the most devastating weapons.
Well, he better not, but at the same time, I agree with you, but that this calculation was one of the reasons why they pushed so much into Ukraine, because they didn't think that he would go into Ukraine given the ties between Russia.
But you know, Russians always come a little bit late, but they always come. This is one of the premises that we have in the Balkans. Mm-hmm. You know, you have a very vivid social arena in Serbia in which you have exactly the same number of people on televisions and podcasts who are speaking for Russia and against Russia. And those who speak against Russia are part of this premise. We cannot be bigger Serbians than Serbians are, mm-hmm. which is a parameter of, I would say, very diplomatic approach. But diplomatic approach is not essential approach to the hardcore problems that we have. Russia must be sometimes a bigger Serbian than Serbians are, because as Napoleon was saying, we don't have to allow Russia to have a finger of Danube River. So connection in between Serbia and Russia is very much deeply rooted into the history. Mm-hmm. It's the history of Krajina in Serbia, which was reservoir for the new soldiers who were at the end of the existence of Krajina were supposed to be under Hungarian law and lose all their property. And they started making what was called in Serbian Husarski puk, mm-hmm. The people who came to Artyomovsk or Nova Serbia and creating society over there and fighting for Russia. Mm.
Now, I don't have time to ask you about your current artistic pursuits. I want to ask just one short question. You seem to be quite pessimistic in your commentary.
No.
Is there anything or what gives you an inspiration for...
I'm not pessimistic like Dostoevsky was not. You know, Dostoevsky was speaking very often about the war or something that comes as a necessary of the way that people communicate and boost the natality rate, boost the fight against decadence, fight against all what is... In the peaceful time, was going on. I'm skeptical, mm-hmm. rather than pessimistic. The world will be separated in 10 years. In between, I would say, this kind of people who believe into no God, satanic. I think somehow the devil will prevail, because there is no. It's like a male-female relationship. If you have an equality, then you lose the balance. Then there is no balance. But if you stop thinking into metaphorical world of Bible, in which Jesus was tempted by the devil, and if you start thinking that being devil is good, one of the Nobel Prize winner told me, you never get a demon absolutely out of you, because it's important to be kind of resistant to him by having piece of him inside. And now, if the development will be with all these new religions, with all this stuff that they are developing in the West, the question will be which part of the West will be giving the signals for their own civilization. And I see more and more, pessimistically or optimistically, that Russia has to prevail on protecting its own civilization because of this separation in between good and evil. If you separate it sharply, it's mistaken. But if you allow yourself to get rid of what is bad in you, yeah. and trying to be making a common sense with the rest of your people by doing the same, then you have this kind of collectiveness that the Chinese had before even individualism. Russia is exactly halfway road in between a society that is developing individual development and the freedom, which is now in the dead end in the West, and collectivism, which is the church.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we are striving for the balance between personal dignity and social connection, and I think this is... you know, ultimately what all the societies are trying to figure out. But we have to leave it there. It's been amazing talking to you. Thank you very much for that.
All the best.
And thank you for watching. Hope to see you again on Worlds Apart.